Welcome to Wednesday. I'm Jason Page. Don't mind me. Good to be with you. A lot to talk about over the next 60 minutes. We're guest-free today. See, the way it works is different nights when I prepare for the show. When I prepare for the show, if I feel like I have a lot to talk about, I'm not going to bog it down by putting on a guest for 20 minutes. And I've always had a philosophy when it comes to putting guests on the air. And it's simple. If you have something to offer that I can't provide, then I'd rather have a guest talk about it. But if I'm every bit as capable of talking about something as a guest is, generally the idea is you're probably listening more to hear what I have to say, at least I hope you are, then why would I put a guest on? It's just kind of the way I've always thought about it. It's always what I've considered, the way I do it. So anyway, a lot to get into today on the show. I want to start out with something a little different. I read a story as I was doing my homework for the show last night about the Lakers potentially dealing for Kyrie Irving. This blockbuster trade. Colin Cowherd was talking about Kyrie Irving potentially getting dealt to the Lakers in this blockbuster move, and Anthony Davis goes to Brooklyn and it would revitalize both of their careers. And I saw this and I said, no, not really. I don't get it. First of all, there isn't anything in Anthony Davis's DNA that we have seen throughout his NBA career that says he could stay healthy regularly over an 82-game season. Now, whether that is, look, think of Shaq. Remember Shaq back in his heyday. Shaq was a guy who was one of the greatest centers of all time, was dominant in his position, a physical force that we've never seen the likes of before him, maybe with the exception of Wilt Chamberlain, or after him. We've never really seen somebody like Shaq before. I don't think we'll ever see anybody like him again. Just a physical force. But if there was one critique of Shaq, it was always that Shaq couldn't stay healthy. It was the toe. It was the finger. There was always something that kept Shaq off the court and kept him from playing 82 games. In a time where guys didn't just take the night off. So, there are just certain guys that for whatever reason, whether it's putting the effort into it, whether it's they're soft, they just can't make it through 82 games. Shaq was one of those guys. Anthony Davis is one of those guys. I mean, Anthony Davis one day might be a Hall of Famer. Doesn't mean there isn't something you can take him to task on or critique him on. But Anthony Davis is a guy that just can't stay healthy. So now you're going to ship him over to play with Kevin Durant? I don't know. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Take the Anthony Davis part of this out of the equation, though. If you go at this point for a Kyrie Irving type, a Antonio Brown type, even a James Harden type, and I think he's on the verge of a 2-year extension with the 76ers. If you go with one of those guys at this point, it's on you. My days of critiquing a Kyrie Irving for being a flat earther or for thinking vaccines don't work, or for putting himself ahead of his teammates and missing, I don't know, 55, 60 games of an NBA season, and basically decimating a Brooklyn Nets team that should have been a title contender. Should have been a contender. I mean, if you look at the Brooklyn Nets as they were constructed and just said Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Kevin Durant. There's no way that team shouldn't have at the very least been a conference finals contender or an NBA title contender. And they never even sniffed it. And it's easy to go after Sean Marks or anybody else in this Brooklyn front office. But hey, you took a shot. You took your shot. You tried putting it together. But now we've seen Kyrie Irving in a few different spots. And we know who Kyrie Irving is at this point. So my time criticizing Kyrie Irving for being Kyrie Irving is done. It's more about the organization that is the next idiot to take a chance on. If you choose at this point to take a chance on Kyrie Irving, I'm not going after Kyrie Irving when he acts like a jackass on your team. When he decides, I'm just going to take a couple weeks off for whatever reason I decide to make up this time. I'm going after you, the general manager, or you, the head coach that tries to recruit him to come and play for you. Because the problem isn't Kyrie Irving. At this point, the problem is your infatuation with thinking you're going to be the one to change them. Yeah, it's like men and women who get into relationships. And they think they're the one that's going to change that person. Oh, no, I can get through to him or her. I can get through and I've got the right message that's going to be able to change the mindset of this person who's behaved this way, likely their entire life. I've got the secret antidote. I've got the magic elixir. No, Kyrie Irving, this is who he is. And if the Lakers want to pair him with LeBron James in the twilight of his career, trying to get one more title or hang on until his son comes into the league or whatever. The reason is at this point to try and bring LeBron James into your team. If that's what you want to do at this point, it's on you, Lakers. It's on you, whatever team. Just fill in the blank and put Kyrie Irving with that team. Same thing with Antonio Brown. You know, Mike Tomlin, somebody asked Mike Tomlin yesterday, I think, on a show or a podcast, hey, Mike Tomlin, would you ever give another shot to Antonio Brown? Mike Tomlin said, not in a million years. Smart guy. You may not think he's the greatest head coach in the world. You might think, you know, maybe he's underachieved at times. Super Bowl winner, multiple times, by the way. I have a friend who lives, I know I'm veering off here. I have a friend who lives near my parents in Connecticut. And huge Steelers fan. And every time I see him, he's just banging on Mike Tomlin. Guy's got rings. A lot of good coaches out there that never got rings. Mike Tomlin's got rings. But if you go and get Antonio Brown at this point, when he pulls a hissy fit on the sideline and takes his shirt off and jersey off and walks off the field and abandons your team in the middle of a game for whatever reason. And again, I'm not saying there may not have been fault with the Buccaneers, but it was the way in which Antonio Brown did it. If he goes and does that again, I'm not going to come on the air and go off on Antonio Brown. I'm going to go off on your organization because at this point, you know who he is, and you chose to sign him anyway. But I can change him. I can get through to him. I've got that big brother, that fatherly sort of guidance I can give him. I can change him. Hey, the Buccaneers did get a Super Bowl with Antonio Brown, though. Let's say that. Which is more than anybody's gotten with James Harden, who's next on the list. And again, if you decide to go and make a move for James Harden or give him a long-term deal to play with Joel Embiid in Philadelphia, if you choose to do that, what happens after that is no longer on James Harden. It's on you. Played his way out of Houston. Couldn't win in Oklahoma City. wanted to have his own team, goes to Houston, gets close, but can't get across the finish line. Thank you, Chris Paul, for getting hurt. Would have beaten the Warriors a few years back. But I digress. James Harden isn't the problem if you go and sign him to a long-term deal and it implodes and your organization winds up missing its window with Joel Embiid. The problem is you. Played his way out of Houston. Decided I'm just going to mail it in. Team deals him to Brooklyn. Now all of a sudden he's got problems in Brooklyn, coexisting with James coexisting with Kevin Durant and what's left of Kyrie Irving. When he does decide to play, before you know it, here we are again. Fourth team for James Harden. Fourth team for James Harden. And we're not talking fourth team because, you know, he's won rings and everybody wants to get him on their team. We're talking fourth team because he's played his way out of those places. He's talked his way out of those places. But you want to go and bring in James Harden into your team, knock yourself out, man. It's not on James Harden when it goes south, and it will inevitably go south. There's a track record of it going south. It's on you. I'm Jason Page. Don't mind me. I got a lot I want to talk about today. I'm going to try and squeeze in as much as I can into the 60 minutes that we do the show. If you have not done so yet, click the like button on the YouTube broadcast if you're watching us there. If you are not watching us on YouTube and you're listening to the podcast and you're enjoying it, make sure to subscribe. You could also subscribe to us on YouTube as well. We're actually doing the show on AMP today as well, the live streaming platform from Amazon. I decided to give it a shot. Wanted to see how it sounded. Wanted to see if anybody was on AMP. I haven't set it up yet so that people can call in on AMP. Kind of weird. I'm not really into the idea of doing call-ins on podcasts. But if you want to listen in, you're more than welcome to do so. Hit me up on Twitter as well, at the back page. Again, on Twitter, at the back page if you feel so inclined. I always thought it was really good aesthetics to breathe heavily into the microphone. Kind of let you know what I'm feeling. Rob Gronkowski called it a career, by the way. We'll get into that. PGA Tour, the LIV Tour, this whole thing just continues to snowball. Jay Monahan is the commissioner of the PGA Tour, and he's supposed to hold a press conference or some sort of briefing today. There are all sorts of stories out there that the PGA Tour is going to make adjustments. In fact, the word I saw used was overhaul the PGA Tour in response to what LIV Golf is doing. So we'll get into that. Somebody not going to LIV Golf is Nick Faldo. He's retiring, but he's not going to LIV Golf. We'll hear from Nick Faldo in his own words coming up a little later on. The Wimbledon seedings are out. And boy, some people are just a glutton for punishment. I'll explain that as well. I'm Jason Page. Stay with us. Lots more to do. Don't mind me. Good to be with you on this Wednesday. Stay with us. We welcome you back. Don't mind me on this Wednesday. I'm Jason Page. If you're watching live on YouTube, we appreciate it. If you're listening live on AMP, thank you for that as well. Make sure to give us a like on both of those. Subscribe to the Don't Like Me YouTube show channel. That's Decibel 88. I think you can do the same in terms of AMP. First time we've done the show on AMP, so glad to be on board doing that. And, of course, our friends at Believe, the podcast. You can listen to the show if you miss it any day. We take it and tidy it up and edit it down and give you the very best and basics of the show. No, I mean like me. If I said don't like me, I mean like me. Somebody messaged in and said, you said don't like me. No, like me. Like me. I want you to like me. I said I'd have LIV Golf updates, and I'm a man of my word. There are LIV Golf updates to provide today. Brooks Koepka is out at the Travelers Championship. He is withdrawn from this week's tournament. That was announced late Tuesday night. The four-time major champion, well, sources have confirmed he's headed to the LIV Golf Series. So why play in this event when you're just going to have to answer questions? And God knows Brooks Koepka doesn't want to answer any questions. If anybody saw the press conference from last week, he lost his mind when people dared to ask him, are you going to go to the LIV Golf Tour? And then he very non-succinctly avoided those questions. LIV Golf is expected to announce the addition of Koepka, and I wonder if they'll make that announcement today or tomorrow now that he's officially bowed out from the Travelers Championship. 17 players already suspended from the PGA Tour as a result of their decision to join LIV Golf. And say this, Jay Monahan is not backing down right now, but there may be some signs of the fact that the PGA Tour is feeling threatened by LIV. The signs are there that the organization is concerned about the threat being imposed by LIV Golf. So here's the latest. Players, and this was announced on Wednesday, R&A Golf, which is the body that looks over the British Open, or as they call it, the Open Championship, the 150th Open Championship. So players that are involved with LIV Golf as of this year are going to be able to compete at the Open Championship next month. That decision came after the one from the USGA where they said players in LIV for this year can jump in and play in the US Open. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the case next year, and I was having this debate with a friend of mine on social media yesterday, Patrick Creighton, who's a talented sports radio host in Houston. And he and I were jostling a bit on Twitter about the fact that I think next year you're going to see the PGA Tour, not the PGA Tour, but the majors ban these players from playing in the majors. I think those majors are going to side with the PGA Tour in their battle to sort of squash this effort from LIV Golf to create a rival golf organization. You can play in one, you can't play in both. So the Masters, the PGA Championship, the US Open, the Open Championship, those would all be restricted as far as the LIV Golf guys are concerned. That's what I think is going to happen. I have nothing to base it on other than the fact that those organizations that run those events are very closely intertwined with the PGA Tour. And I think as the Masters goes, everybody will go. I think the Masters has the potential to kind of kill this thing before it ever gets started. But we'll have to wait and see. R&A CEO Martin Slumbers, because of course the guy running the R&A would be named Martin Slumbers. Martin Slumbers said, the Open is golf's original championship, and since it was first played in 1860, openness has been fundamental to its ethos and unique appeal. Players who are exempt or have earned a place through qualifying for the 150th Open, in accordance with the entry terms and conditions, will be able to compete in the championship at St. Andrews. We're focused on staging a world-class championship in July and celebrating this truly historic occasion for golf, that being the 150th Open, of course. We will invest the proceeds of the Open, as we always do, for the benefit of golf, which reflects our purpose to ensure that the sport is thriving 50 years from now. Open Championship begins on July 14th, by the way. Tiger Woods among those expected to play. But these LIV Golf guys, the problem for them is every time they have to play in these British Open, U.S. Open, PGA Championships, they're going to get grilled by the media on their association with the Saudi government, also known as Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund, which is financially backing the LIV Tour. And it remains to be seen how that continues to play out. You know, you've got players losing endorsements, but they don't care. They're getting so much money from LIV, they just don't care. And now, the PGA Tour is already reportedly looking at ways to keep further defections from occurring. So, it was reported yesterday by multiple outlets that the PGA Tour is reportedly considering a complete overhaul of its off-season. And by off-season, I mean everything that happens after the FedEx Cup has been concluded. Because then they have the fall swing and the winter events. They have this wraparound thing where a lot of the marquee players don't play. And a lot of guys try to earn as many points as they can before those big events where the big guns start to come in. Well, Golf Digest's Dan Rappaport said one of the things that came out of the PGA Tour player meeting at the Travelers Championship says that the tour is discussing launching an 8-event 50-man field series with purses of $20 million. Now, if you want to compare that to what LIV Golf is doing, they have 8 events with 48-man fields and $25 million purses for the first 7 events, and then they have the $50 million grand finale at one of Donald Trump's courses somewhere. So the way it would work for the PGA Tour is they'd have these fields that'd be made up of the top 50 in the FedEx Cup points rankings, with all other PGA Tour players competing in other events to secure their status and cards for the next year. So you'd have 2 events going on at the same time, if I'm reading that correctly. You'd have the PGA Tour regular events, and then you'd have these super series events, if you want to call it that, with the top 50 in the FedEx Cup standings. Be very interesting. It's a novel idea, but again, LIV Golf is changing the entire business model that the PGA Tour has operated on for eternity, you know, for so long. There was some good news. There was some good news for the PGA Tour on late Tuesday. Colin Morikawa, and if you listened to the podcast yesterday and listened to the show yesterday, I said there had been some scuttlebutt that Colin Morikawa, one of the PGA Tour's youngest rising stars, was going to also bolt for LIV Golf. We talked about it. We said that he had taken the PGA Tour off of his Twitter profile, his social media profiles, and that led people to speculate, like Brooks Koepka, who had done the same thing, he was going to bolt for LIV Golf. Well, it turns out that is not the case. Colin Morikawa yesterday taking to Twitter and making it known he's not going anywhere. Colin Morikawa yesterday putting this out on Twitter to sort of squash the idea that he was going to follow the likes of Brooks Koepka and Charles Schwartzel and Phil Mickelson, all of these guys. and take off. He wrote something to the effect of, I told you I'm not leaving, and I'm not leaving. So Colin Morikawa says he is staying with the PGA Tour. He is not leaving, and that is some good news for Jay Monahan and the folks at the PGA Tour who thought that Colin Morikawa was perhaps going to bolt. Here is the actual tweet from Morikawa. To state for the record, once again, you are all absolutely wrong. I've said it since February at Riviera that I'm here to stay on the PGA Tour and nothing has changed. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got some cereal to pour in my milk. Hey, at least I know now that Colin Morikawa and I have something in common. We both eat cereal. And that's where the similarities end. All right. So that's it on the LIV Golf stuff. Nick Faldo is retiring. I'm not going to spend too much time on that. Nick Faldo is retiring from CBS Sports. He's also squashing any idea that he's going to go and work with LIV Golf. He just wants to retire. He wants to settle on his ranch in Montana. I interviewed Nick Faldo years ago at a Super Bowl in Miami, and he couldn't be a nicer guy. Great conversation. Really enjoyed talking with him. He was on with Dan Patrick yesterday and said he's not leaving to go to LIV Golf. He's just retiring. He's at the end of his contract. He wants to spend more time with his wife. And who wants to die? You know, it's like Keith Jackson always said, who wants to die in front of a microphone? Certainly not Sir Nick Faldo. All right, we've talked golf. We've talked about troubled athletes. Now I've got a question for you. Does a guilty man settle 20 out of 24 lawsuits? I'll leave you with that question, and then I'll come back and tell you what I'm talking about next. Don't mind me on this Wednesday. Stay with us. We welcome you back. Don't mind me. I'm Jason Page with you on this Wednesday. If you have not done so yet, make sure to like or subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can watch the show live there Monday through Thursday. We're Monday through Thursday. Once football kicks in, we'll get back to doing shows 5 days a week. But no point in doing shows 5 days a week. I'd rather do our best stuff Monday through Thursday, and we'll take Fridays off. How's that? And I can, because it's mine. Subscribe to the channel if you have not done so yet, the Decibel 88 channel on YouTube. There'll be a lot of great content coming down the pike in the days, weeks, and months ahead. If you're listening to us on AMP for the first time, I just want to say thank you for doing so. We're trying it out, seeing how we like it. Don't mind me, available on AMP. And, of course, last but certainly not least, the Believe podcast. The Don't Mind Me podcast, which is available courtesy of our friends at Believe. That's B-L-E-A-V. We're on every major podcasting platform. And again, if you're listening live on AMP, we appreciate that as well. All right, so Men Behaving Badly, the NFL edition. Does a guilty man settle 20 of 24 lawsuits against him? I would tend to say no. I would tend to go more of the mindset where there's smoke, there's fire. Well, Deshaun Watson, the Cleveland Browns quarterback, I mean, he hasn't started a game yet for him, but he is their quarterback. I still question whether he's ever going to start a game for them. But that's another topic that we've kind of already delved into. Deshaun Watson has reportedly reached settlements with 20 of the 24 women who have accused the 26-year-old of sexual misconduct during those now infamous massage sessions that occurred from 2020 into 2021. A lawyer for the plaintiff in the case is Tony Busby. He confirmed the win in a statement. Quote, "Today I announced that all cases against Deshaun Watson, with the exception of four, have settled. We're working through the paperwork related to those settlements. Once we've done so, those particular cases will be dismissed. The terms and amounts of the settlements are confidential. We won't comment further on the settlement of those cases." Now, all of this goes back to one original complaint, and that was from a woman named Ashley Solis. And Busby was very emphatic in his praise of Busby. "The case against Deshaun Watson started with one phone call from one brave and strong woman. That woman was Ashley Solis. Even though she was originally turned away by our screening process, my staff insisted I personally speak with her. I'm glad she persisted." He says, "As a result of Ashley's lone but brave voice, soon many women who had allegedly experienced the same conduct were emboldened to step forward. I am incredibly proud to represent them all. They have endured vile criticism and fanatical ignorance. They faced withering cross-examination by skilled litigators and stood firm. They are warriors all." Does a guilty man, and I don't know how you do this if you're the NFL. There's not one single criminal charge. And I'm talking about the NFL's personal conduct policy. What do you do? And this is going to be tested because they have a new arbitration system. It's not decided categorically or unanimously or by one person like it was in the past with Roger Goodell making the final decision. How do you handle this if you're the NFL? How do you handle this if you're an arbitrator? Because you have no criminal charges. All the civil lawsuits are being dismissed. But they're being settled, which, even though there'll be no admission of guilt from Deshaun Watson, and he'll sit there and say to the cows come home, "I admitted nothing. There's nothing in these settlements that has me apologizing," or anything of that nature. If you are Deshaun Watson, you have to think, hey, I should be allowed to play week one for the Cleveland Browns, whoever they play. I haven't looked at the schedule. That he should be able to play in week one. Rusty Hardin is a lawyer for the Watson team. He's gone after these accusers of Watson, saying they're slanderous, purposely misleading. Because they all still went back to work with Watson as masseurs after the alleged inappropriate behavior took place. Hardin said the women were lying and Busby viewed Watson as a payday after the women accused Watson of improper behavior, including exposing himself, causing his genitals to touch them, and in some cases, coercing sex. But I will be very interested to see how the arbitrators in this case decide to rule, because there's no admission of guilt, but you have 20 settlements out of 24 cases. And that means a significant chunk of change is being paid out to these women. If I'm innocent, if I haven't done anything wrong, I got news for you. I'm not settling. I mean, there wouldn't be 24 cases to begin with if you're not guilty, unless you want to believe there is some mass conspiracy to go after Deshaun Watson, which, look, I think anybody of sound mind knows that something happened here. The number of false sexual assault allegations is minuscule. And I've often talked about my own history. I'm a victim of sexual assault myself. And when you go through something like that, there's a myriad of emotions. Some people don't talk right away. I didn't tell anybody publicly until 2017. I didn't speak publicly about the fact that I was sexually assaulted, and it happened when I was 7 years old. Some people never speak out. But it's important that we listen to and believe people that have been in this sort of situation by no fault of their own. And that includes these 24 women, 20 of which now whose cases have settled. And I still go back to the Cleveland Browns, and I'll go back to it here for a second. I don't know how an organization doesn't do enough due diligence that they think it's okay in this sort of case to bring in a Deshaun Watson, that that's going to be good for their locker room, that it's going to be good for the image of the organization. I don't know who in sane mind thinks that's a good idea. And you know what? Browns fans will root. If he comes running out of the tunnel week one, and performs well, the fans are going to cheer him wildly. They're going to say this is all a witch hunt, because that's what fans do. They're fanatics. They're going to support him regardless of these accusations that are out there. But, I don't know how the Cleveland Browns... Yeah, I'd have to take a shower every night before I go to bed if I were the Cleveland Browns organization and the powers that be there. When you introduce somebody like Deshaun Watson into your organization, into your fan base, into your community, knowing the sorts of things he's done. And I'll say one more thing on this, and then I'll move on to Daniel Snyder, which is equally as icky a story. If Deshaun Watson has done this as many times before as he has reportedly done, he's going to do it again. This is a serial abuser. There's no getting around this. Nobody wants to talk about this, but it should be discussed every day in every corner of the sports world. This is serial behavior. He's not just going to stop. He may not get caught, but there's no way that suddenly Deshaun Watson is just going to stop behaving this way. He's going to stop going and getting massages and trying to turn them into sexual encounters. There's no way that anybody can convince me that Deshaun Watson won't do this again. He's going to do it again. From Deshaun Watson to the equally icky Daniel Snyder. So there's new details involving a 2009 sexual assault allegation against the owner of the Washington Commanders, Daniel Snyder. This on the eve of the House Oversight Committee's hearing into the NFL's investigation of Washington's awful workplace culture. According to a letter sent to the Washington Post by an attorney for the team to the woman's lawyer in 2009, a female employee accused Snyder of asking her for sex, groping her, and attempting to remove her clothes on a private area of one of the team's private planes while returning from a work trip to Las Vegas in April 2009. Snyder denied the allegations, said a team investigation accused the woman of fabricating allegations in an attempt to extort him. A team investigation, by the way, that's great. No bias there. Yeah, we're going to rule against the owner of the team. How NFL teams get away with this stuff, whether it's Cleveland not interviewing or talking to the 24 women that have accused Deshaun Watson of wrongdoing, whether it's the Washington Commanders and all their worldly wisdom deciding, hey, here's a great idea. We're going to investigate the sexual assault allegations against the owner of our team that employs us. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that. Snyder agreed to pay, again, here we go. Snyder paid a $1.6 million settlement to the woman 3 months later in exchange that she not publicly disclose the allegations or sue him. Does an innocent man do that? Of course not. But here we are, June 22nd, 2022. A lot of twos in there. And Daniel Snyder is still the owner of the Washington Commanders. Say what you want about the NBA. Sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong. Donald Sterling screwed up in a big way and kind of revealed his true colors, the racist comments that came out on a microphone, what, about 9 years ago? Adam Silver laid the hammer down. You're selling the team. Case closed. One of the first things that Adam Silver had to deal with when he came in and became the commissioner after David Stern left. Boom, you're gone. Sell the team. And they did. And now Steve Ballmer owns it. But you have the Washington Commanders that all this time still remain under the control of Daniel Snyder. And why? Because fellow owners and Roger Goodell don't have the spine to stand up to him and say, you got to sell the team, dude. But maybe they don't make him sell the team because it's not bad for business. The moment it becomes bad for business, then maybe they make him sell the team. And as bad as it looks optically, if it isn't impacting the bottom line, Daniel Snyder is going to remain the owner of the Washington Commanders. Some odds and ends to tie it up with as we continue. Don't mind me on this Wednesday. I'm Jason Page. Stay with us. Once again, if you are watching us on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the Don't Mind Me, well, to the Decibel 88 channel, which is what houses and produces Don't Mind Me. Make sure to subscribe to the Decibel 88 channel on YouTube. If you're listening to us on AMP, we appreciate you doing so. First time we've done the show on there. And of course, the Believe Podcast Network. You can listen to Don't Mind Me anytime. Just simply go to Believe.com, BLEAV.com, or any of your favorite podcasting platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Stitcher. We're on all of them. Tune in. Go and check out the Don't Mind Me podcast as well. I'm going to give you a best bet before we go. But first, I want to get to what I find fascinating. Some people are just a glutton for punishment, or they're desperate for work, or they really like their craft, or whatever it may be. So the Charlotte Hornets, as you know, were originally supposed to have Kenny Atkinson as their next head coach. He decided to stay with the Warriors as an assistant under Steve Kerr, spurning Michael Jordan. And while the interview process was going on, the Hornets had also spoken with Mike D'Antoni and Terry Stotts. Stotts, of course, did a great job with the Blazers for many years. D'Antoni's a guy who's gotten close to winning NBA titles but was never able to get over the hump. Thought of as an offensive genius. It is more than questionable whether he actually knows how to coach defense on any sort of level. But the Charlotte Hornets now have reportedly circled the wagons and have decided they're going to go after Mike D'Antoni again. Now, again, I said this yesterday on the show and I'll say it again. I don't know how, if you're Mike D'Antoni, you go back to the Hornets after they've already made it clear you're not their number one choice. But again, some guys, I would just think, this is going to be an interesting thing to say, and I know it may not curry any favor with some people. I would think you'd have enough self-respect. I would think you'd have enough self-respect that you would say, you know what? They didn't want me. They decided to go with somebody else. While I'd like to coach again, I can't go and coach that team. Again, how do the players view you? And I think that's a big part of the problem here, too. How are the players in that locker room going to view Mike D'Antoni on a daily basis as an authority figure, knowing that the organization didn't even want him as their first pick. Now, again, it's not a done deal. Other things could come up. Maybe Mike D'Antoni does say no. But Michael Jordan seems to be making the move to try and go back to Mike D'Antoni to see if they can get him to take the gig. Adrian Wojnarowski was reporting on that. All right. I haven't done one in a few days. We're 1-3 so far on the best bet. I'm going back to the Yankees well tonight because the Yankees don't lose two games in a row. I know you're going to tell me they lost two games in a row to, who was it? They've lost two games in a row in the last, I don't know. I think once it happened in the last like month and a half. But the Yankees lost yesterday. Close game in Tampa Bay, 5-4. Nestor Cortez took the loss, I believe. He gave up like four runs. So team may be starting to figure him out a little bit. But the Yankees and Rays wrap up a four-game series today or tonight in Tampa Bay. It's hard to get the Yankees at a realistic number on the money line because they're so good, because they have 50 wins in their first, I don't know, 67 games, 68 games, whatever it is. So it's hard to get the Yankees on a realistic number. So to me, the best bet today, take the Yankees, minus 140 on the money line with Jordan Montgomery on the bump against Shane Baz, who's just getting back into the swing of things, the hard thrower, the young pitcher for the Rays who's been hurt, will be on the mound tonight in St. Petersburg. For the Yankees and Rays, Jordan Montgomery's been very good this season, as is basically all the Yankee starters. But Jordan Montgomery gets the start for the Yankees. Take him tonight. Minus 140, your best bet to wrap up this Wednesday edition of Don't Mind Me. And that's going to do it. Thank you for tuning in. If you were listening on the AMP app from Amazon, we appreciate you doing so. We'll do it again on there tomorrow. First time we've done the show on AMP. Also on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the Decibel 88 channel if you haven't done so already. Make sure to like us. Hit me up on Twitter with any of your thoughts on anything we discussed today at the back page. Again, at the back page. I'm on Facebook and Instagram too, but I'm not going to sit here and run through every social media profile I have. Yankees, the best bet, minus 140. Again, we're 1-3 on the best bet. Good news is, the last best bet was a win. Until Thursday, I'm Jason Page. We'll catch you next time. Don't mind me. Bye-bye.